it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms, the book of sung praises, part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And in this segment called the Soulful Psalms, we take a look at the Psalms and that we hear every day in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And we connect the Psalms to our everyday lived experience because God's Word is alive and God's Word is still speaking to us today. And we often want to see how we see Christ, right? Concealed in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament, as St. Augustine says. So we take a look at the Psalms. You can listen to this segment of the Soulful Psalms at its own podcast, the EWTN app. That's my go-to. Or you can use Spotify or iTunes or one of those as well. All right, today we're going to look at Psalm 20. So Psalm 20 is in book one of the Psalms. All the Psalms in book one, Psalms 1 to 41, are attributed to David. The prescript is the entire first verse, simply says, "For the choir master, a psalm of David." Very simple. So, of course, David wrote the psalm and then gave it to the choir master to put music to. All right, so it starts at verse 2. "May the Lord answer you in time of trial. May the name of Jacob's God protect you." Right? So David here is very interesting. He's not just praying for himself. He's trying to give encouragement here. Right? He's trying to give encouragement to us. Right? Not just to the people he was when the psalm was written, but he's giving encouragement to us as well. He's praying for us in a sense, interceding in a sense for us, that when we're going through something difficult, that God answers. I'm praying the Lord that you would answer the people who are engaging you in this beautiful psalm. May the name of Jacob's God protect you, right? Abraham, Isaac, Yitzhak, who means laughter, and Jacob, also known as Israel, right? So may Jacob's God protect you. May he send you help from the holy place and give you support from Zion. I love that. So may he send you help from the holy place. So the holy place could mean, you know, the Jerusalem, right? The city of David. It means from heaven, right? Heavenly blessings. And may he give you support from Zion. Zion is the name of the heavenly Jerusalem, right? So may God come with his help from without, right? From outside. So again, this is a common theme in David, not relying on the help of the things in this world, although they can't be helpful, but they can't answer us when we're going through something difficult. They can't protect us when we're going through something difficult, right? God has to be part of that picture. We have to allow God the room in our hearts to be able for him to come in and bring that consolation and bring the healing that we need in our lives, the support that we need as well. That's the wonderful support structure. Because without a support structure, what happens? The building falls, right? If there's no foundation, the building's not built on anything solid and it cannot stand, right? So it's a beautiful reminder of David. And he continues at verse 4. "May he remember all your offerings and receive your sacrifice with favor." What offerings is he talking about here? The offerings of our lives. The offering of our lives. May he remember. So how do we offer our lives to God? Very simple. Well, could be simple if we're in a state of grace. By simply cooperating with the will of God, opening our hearts to his love and to his truth and to his grace and to his mercy, and by being the person who God created us to be. That's what David is intimating here. That's the offering that we make of our lives to God. Because think about it. What else can we offer God? God created everything. Everything. Money. Oh, I have money. Money don't belong to you. Yeah, you may have money, but it doesn't belong to you. Everything belongs to God. We are merely stewards and caretakers of all the things that come to us from God. Right? But the greatest gift that we've received from God is not anything material. It's our life. It's our lives. And what we do with our lives is that offering to God, right? How we honor and reverence and respect God by what we do with our life, how we use our bodies, which are in 1 Corinthians 6:19, St. Paul says our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit that we have with us from God. How do we honor God and glorify him with our bodies, right? How do we give honor to him with our lives, right? We heard Ace and I talking about our children and, you know, the gifts that they have in acting and singing and the visual arts, you know, and it's wonderful to see our children. And what's our job? To help them discover what those gifts are so that they can glorify God with their lives when they leave our house and go out into the world. They have a strong rooting, they have a strong grounding, they have a strong foundation upon which they will build their life with God.
Yeah, we were actually having a discussion yesterday after church about, you know, in service when, you know, the priest says, you know, we lift our hearts and then we respond, we lift them to the Lord. And we use that as an opportunity to say, we really, not only as we lift our hearts, we're lifting all of our time, our talents, yes, our energy. We're lifting those to God because from him, because I know when I'm burnt and spent and, you know, needing rest, I have to unplug in order to do that. But I have to plug and tap into what God's resources are for my life to give me those, you know, juices to be able to do the things that he's calling me to. And so I want my kids to understand, hey, you know, it's great to create things, but give it to God so that you can grow in it. You can always be learning, you know, find ways to then give it back to him in whatever he calls you to.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're talking today, you know, our first little segment here, for your marriage, and we're talking about affection. And you know, remember, Christ is very clear, quoting it in Matthew 19, quoting Genesis chapter 2. He says the two are one.
Yeah.
Right. They're no longer two, but one. So husbands and wives have to figure out how to honor God together. Yes, we have our individual gifts and talents, of course.
Yeah.
But in the sacrament of matrimony, the two become one. So you have to find ways to honor God together as a couple.
Yeah.
You know, and some, you know, like I said, sometimes, you know, when you've been with someone for so long, you start to take things for granted. And that's, we're going to talk about affection today. But I think, you know, we should be mindful of this. How do we honor God together, you know, as a couple?
Well, and wouldn't you also say that, you know, there are things that your wife is really great at that you're not? And vice versa.
Oh, definitely.
You know, so the men's side, or I guess either one really, but a lot of times men were like, well, I don't need anybody to tell me or help me. Yeah, I can do it all. I like the fact that my wife is better at things than I am, because then I can go, hey, you're really good at that. So go, you know, and then she does the same thing to me. So I'm like, oh, well, that's in my strength. I can't say no to that.
You know? Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. And it's not just personality traits.
Right.
We're talking about things that are woven into the fabric of our very being as male and female.
Yep.
That's that beautiful unity within the complementarity of our being as male and female. Those gifts, in an earthly sense, perfect. Not, you know, obviously we can't be perfect until we're in heaven, but in an earthly sense, the gifts that we give to each other as male and female, as husband and wife, perfect and complement each other.
Amen.
Right. And that's and learning to appreciate those gifts. Like, I don't mind asking my wife, what do you think we should do here? I, deferring to her,
right,
because those are her gifts.
Yeah.
I'd be a fool to think, well, I'm the man, so I should be forgotten. No. You know, if she has, I defer to her, just like sometimes she defers to me. Is it where our gifts are, where our strengths are?
Yeah.
You know, recognizing that as a married couple.
And a lot of times, too, if she has to make decisions that affect us, I trust her. If you have a piece about the decision you're making, then just tell me later, because you obviously can make that decision without me. But if it is something that is more a joint decision, just say, hey, tonight, can we make some time to talk about X? And then we just make it a priority.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. In verse 5, David says, may he give you your heart's desire and fulfill every one of your plans. Okay? Again, God's not a genie with a magic wand. Now just do whatever. No. The heart's desire. What is our heart's desire? To be with God, right? What our hearts are truly desiring is a deep, intimate, personal loving relationship with the Lord our God. That's what our hearts desire. And so when our hearts are united with God's heart, our plans are united with God's plans, then we find purpose and fulfillment and meaning in our lives. Beautiful. And maybe we can get to verse 6 here. May we bring out our joy at your victory and raise banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your prayers. Again, we have something called the synonymous parallelism, where David takes a theme from the previous COLA and brings it into this one as well. Awesome. May God grant all the desires are in communion with his holy will. Beautiful.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.